is. It is Monday, March 8th, 2021, and you're here with TK on the Watkins Awards show. This is our seventh episode. Seven. Boy, lucky number seven, and many, many more to come. As I always say, I'm always saying also that I'm joined by my partner in, I don't know whether to say crime, but I'm joined with my partner, okay? And that is J. Everett Pearsall. How you doing, Mr. Pearsall?
Doing extremely well. Good to be here on another Monday.
Well, you know, Monday is something, man, and it's going to be hot. I mean, hot today. Our special guest is going to be Richard Yergin. I've sent out a little information about Richard Yergin, but man, can these shows get any better? Yes, they can. Every time we come up with one, I say, man, how in the world are we going to outdo this last show? And somehow you come up with, you know, the idea of the next person that rolls in here. And man, I mean, in the next coming weeks, we got people that got to hold up their bargain, man. I mean, these dudes are holding up the weight. They raising the bar every time. But, you know, I always say the National Alliance of African American Athletes is the organization that uses the Watkins Award to recognize the top African American high school scholar athletes. Those athletes are making a tremendous impact in their communities. And before, again, I go into what it is that we go into every year, well, I say every year, but every show, I got to talk about views and opinions. I mean, I got to do a disclaimer. I always have to do that, that the views and opinions of the host and the co-host, you know, myself and Mr. Pearsall, you know, they are our views and opinion, not those of BBS Radio or any of our sponsors or anyone. It's just our views and our opinions. And certainly don't hold them liable. You call Mr. Pearsall up and rake him across the coals on the phone because he's talking all this stuff that is unbelievable. How can a African-American be a scholar athlete and be a five-star? Never heard of that before. You got to prove that to me. You got to prove it. How can in the world they graduate? Most of these African-Americans, they don't graduate from college. They don't get a degree. That's what they've been hearing. But I'm here to tell you, we got joy on this land we can talk about. But, you know, before I even get started, again, you know, I always try to give I try to give credit where credit is due, because we have people who help us not only with the radio show, but they help us with the Watkins Award, which is an annual event. And I would encourage you to go by the website, go by www.naaa.com. That's four A's. People put three A's in there and they say, well, I couldn't get to it. I put two A's in there. That's naaa.com. Go by the website. And also, I don't say it a lot, but hey, we can always use donations. This is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So we go off of donations. And so we would appreciate you going by the website and doing that. But some of the sponsors that help us out, and I'll be trying to get them in during the course of the day, is JMA Solutions. And you can go by their website at jmasolutions.com. They have offices in D.C., East Harbor Township, New Jersey, and also Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And they are hiring. So you can go by their website, check them out. Also, check out Exotic Car Sharing. Com. That's the one that Pearsall uses whenever he goes out of town. He needs an exotic car. But just look at him. He loves driving those muscle cars, Lamborghinis, Porsches, Benzes, Maserati. I mean, look at him. He looks like he would look good in a Testarossa. Just look at him. But at any rate, they have offices in Palestine, Illinois, and Atlanta, Georgia. You can, you know, go by their website. And then you have also, who help us out, War Law Office. They have an office in downtown Noonan, Georgia. And you can get in touch with them by, you know, giving them a phone call at 770-251-1289. Now, I know I'm going real fast, but, you know, this also is a recorded show, so you can go back and come back to the website, bbsradio.com, and you can hear us again over and over and over. So it's a podcast, and then you can go to the major podcast platforms as well to get some information. And then we also have Roscoe Jenkins Funeral Home, which is also located in Noonan, Georgia. Now, we represent athletes all over the country. You know, so you might hear some cities you've never heard before. You say, how in the world? But they are helping us out. So Roscoe Jenkins Funeral Home, located at 182 Millet Farmer Industrial Boulevard in Noonan also. And their telephone number, you can call them at 770-253-1232. And last but not least, I know Mr. Pearsall gonna like this. He gonna like this. We also have J.C. Lofton's Professional Alterations and Custom Tailoring. All of Mr. Pearsall's suits, they custom their shirts. I mean, you look at his shirt, that's a custom tailored shirt. I don't care what you say, he gets his shirts tailored. And Mr. Lofton, he's located in Washington, D.C. on that famous street, U Street. 1003 U Street, Northwest in Washington, D.C. And you can, you know, go by J.C. Lofton's and he'll tailor you some suits. Now, you know, ironically, his cousin, first cousin, Kurt, I call him Kurt Bone Lofton, also does tailoring down here in Georgia, and he's over in Conyers, Georgia. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about everybody later on in the show, but, you know, today is going to be a phenomenal show, and I want to ask you a question, Mr. Pearsall. All of us have been. But can you recall a time in your life that adversity, I want to use the word adversity, that you were faced with a time that you really had to dig deep and that athlete in you had to come out? Could have been at work, could have been a situation at the job or something. And something caused you to really dig deep and think about some of those old coaches that say, you better not quit, you better not. And then you had your mom, your dad, you know, your brother, your sister. You had people in your family that looked upon you and you say, you know, one of the things I can't do, I can't quit. Do you recall any time in your life? I mean, I remember times when I wanted to quit jobs. Just wanted to get out the job. Man, I can't take this. I'm leaving this job. But I would not quit. Now, I'm not going to say I didn't resign, but it wasn't that I quit because somebody was just so mean to me, so hard. You know, I just persevered. So do you remember a time in your life when you had to really do something like that?
Absolutely. There are many, many times that sport has actually prepared me for life. It's one of the reasons I've been able to, I say accomplish, but to do most of what I've been able to do in life is because of sport. But I'll go back and obviously you try to think chronologically about times that you reached adversity or had to overcome adversity. One of the very reasons I'm so passionate about the Watkins Award and the National Alliance of African American Athletes is because I was raised by a single mom and a single parent home. And at the age of 14, essentially, and I've told this story to a number of folks, I essentially, you know, was smart enough to get straight A's, which bore fruit later and was evidenced later. But I went through most of my early years in education, getting an A in math because I just loved math, and getting an A in gym because I was athletic, and essentially getting a D in everything else. But without going into the depth of the story, I reached a point in the ninth grade where I was about to get expelled from school, and they actually made a decision to throw me out. And my parents came in, my mom came into the school, I should say, and we had a one-on-one meeting with the principal, and my mom just wasn't having it. She wasn't going for the fact that I deserved to be kicked out. And she made the case and pled the case that I should be given another opportunity. But on the ride home, she challenged me to dedicate myself the same way that I dedicated myself to the game of football and at that time baseball, to making sure that I didn't embarrass myself or my family or her again for accolades in the classroom. And I had to reflect back on what I represented on the field and try to apply myself in the same way in the classroom. And I'll tell you that, you know, recognizing that, you know, it wasn't the level of intellect that I had. It was the fact that I just didn't care about those other classes until that very moment. And at that very moment, moving forward, I got all A's and one B for the rest of my high school career. But again, that was a turning point. That was a time that I had to take a look at what I represented and how embarrassed I was to see my mother sitting in front of, you know, the school board and the principal fighting for my educational life because of the way that I conducted myself. And more importantly, the way that I was viewed, sort of being a derelict of the school and not doing anything malicious, but just not being about the educational business that she pushed me to be about. And I'm talking about a mother who didn't graduate from high school, but wanted to make sure that her son, you know, went to college, graduated from college, and was able to take advantage of things that education would afford me to be able to take advantage of. And so, you know, again, I'll reflect that back on sports because she challenged me and obviously told me that if I didn't get things together in the classroom, certainly the football would be over for me. And, you know, that adversity put me in the right frame of mind. I attacked the books and, you know, graduated, you know, with honors and straight A's for the rest of my high school career. And so I'd say that because there are a lot of kids out there that are extremely intelligent. And so when given the right drive or given the right example, given the right push or the level of empowerment, they too can now realize that there's opportunities out there that they'll be able to take advantage of if they just apply themselves. The intellect is there. You know, all they have to do is apply themselves and focus on the things that they want to have at the end of the rainbow.
Boy, that's an awesome story. I mean, I know that everybody has a story, and there's no doubt that there's been enough people that I have had conversations with that have traveled that same road. And certainly, I appreciate, you know, that because it reminded me of some things that went on in my life, you know, being raised by a single parent. But no doubt, just realizing a lot of those experiences through a lot of these young men who come through the Watkins Award. And again, I want to overemphasize the fact that the Watkins Award is an award that recognizes the top African-American scholar athletes. No one, it recognizes athletes. And not to use any fancy words or anything, we just let one of them just watch over the award. If it's five or six of them, One of them has the responsibility to look over the award for the rest of their peers. And, you know, what makes this Watkins Award so special is that these young men all realize that they all are winners in this event that is the National Alliance of African American Athletes, in which we put on, which is the Watkins Award. And now all of a sudden you got all these young men here, and each one of them go through their own level of adversity. But, you know, going back to what you talked about early in one of our earlier shows with Mr. Franklin D. Watkins coming up with this organization to help use peer pressure in a positive way and make being smart hip. Because I remember when I was a young man, being smart wasn't hip. As a matter of fact, it could be unhealthy. You be in the classroom and you act like you smarter than the rest of the kids. Then all of a sudden you found yourself in a situation. And those were the things that I had to deal with. I mean, I played so many sports, you know, guys didn't realize that I was playing these sports, all these different types of sports when I was coming through elementary, middle school, and high school, that by the time I did get to become a senior and not find myself in any trouble, never going to jail. I mean, my mother never had to do any of those things. Now, I'm not saying that I'm better than any of the other kids who had to find themselves in reform school or in jail. But what I'm saying is I use sports as a way out. And everybody else was going somewhere. I found a way to say, well, you know what? I got to go to practice. Well, Coach so-and-so, you know, he wants me to be somewhere. And those guys believed it. And it wasn't, you know, like I was telling the field, but saw that being the easiest way to get out of trouble. And adversity, oh, man, I mean, just playing all the sports and not being the biggest guy on any of the teams. I always found myself playing with older guys, playing catcher and baseball, and having a guy who could probably throw at least 70 mile an hour fastball by the time he was in the sixth grade. I mean, incredible athlete who could have been All-American in football, baseball, and basketball. But to go to football practice, a whole nother story and some of the things that we saw. But this guy was a great athlete. And I am so thankful for the opportunity to play with all of these All-Americans. Well, I didn't realize that they were challenging me to be a better player. But with all that said, Mr. Pearsall, you know, I brought our guest in early today, and we're getting ready to hit a break in a few seconds. I know that break is going to come up, but before we hit that break, I just want to say that I met a lot of the guys, met a lot of them, just like you. And you communicate with all of them, but you know, you can't become what you really want to become to all of them. I mean, that's a lot of work that you put in, going from school to school, state to state, city to city. I don't think sometimes people appreciate the work that you do. But I do recall an incident that we'll come back to later, that you and I was minding our business. You get a phone call. You call me up. Before I know it, you in Atlanta. And then you and I jump in a car and we traveling northbound. on 85. Now, I'm going to bring that story up, but the young man that we're going to have after the commercial is Richard Yergin. Richard is one special athlete, being one of the top, one of the top defensemen in the country. He graduates with a 4.2, and Richard essentially could have gone anywhere he wanted to because of his athletic skills. But more importantly, he could have dropped football and just went as a student on an academic scholarship. All of these guys are special. All of them have the secret sauce. But this Richard Yergin got a DNA that is unbelievable. So I'm going to, get more into detail on the backside of this commercial. I'm, hopeful that Doug is hearing me and he's going to run that commercial, give us some music, get us out of here for a second, and then we'll get out. But Doug may be, I don't know, did he fall asleep on us or something?
He might have. There we go.
We'll get back to Richard Yergin on the backside. Thank you so much. You're here with Pierce on Tape on the Watkins Award.
Wall out when I never fall. I've been gone for a minute, yeah, had to be free. You wanted, I got it, so tell me what you need. I'm unchained, unfazed, and unwilling. It's a new day, new world, we all winning. I'm up late, up early, I gotta get it. Keep working, now we gotta make a million. Go get it, you got it, I see you. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.
Exotic Car Sharing by Kirby Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years. Based out of Palatine, Illinois, our company allows its members the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the costs. Our share plans include reservations for weekend or weekly ride sharing. Our members get to choose from a Bentley one weekend to the McLaren 570S the next. No long paperwork, expensive maintenance, or expensive insurance requirements. Exotic Car Sharing has the fleet and capabilities to service all of our clients with quality luxury vehicles delivered at your doorstep. Register on our website at exoticcarsharing.com or call us at 888-264-3327.
Got that commercial in this time, man. That's what I want.
Exotic cars, baby.
Exotic cars. You know what, Pearsall? I know your foot was moving while that commercial was on because you know how you like to jump in that.
Butterfly doors, baby. It's time to go.
What's that one car that got them doors that flap up on the side that's about $300,000 you like driving?
I don't know. I think it's the Lamborghini. I'm not sure. I just know how to get into them and drive them. I can't call them out when I see them, but I can drive them for sure.
That's the Bugatti. Well, I tell you, you talk about a expensive sports car and pristine and how they work. Let's look at Richard Yergin, man. He's a 2014. My guy with the Watkins Award. He comes through, humble, man. All of these guys are humble. But Yergin is humble, and he comes through, and we're going to get into why he did this. But he goes down to Clemson. And Clemson is no joke. I mean, they stacked up down there. So if you're a football player in particular, your game better be on. But he not only goes down there and wins a national championship, but within 3 years, Jurgen graduates. He gets his business his degree in business administration. Then he ends up getting a master's degree down there at Clemson. And then he leaves Clemson, you know, he goes to use that extra year and he goes to Boston University and gets another master's. So by the time he finishes his athletic career, he doesn't have just a bachelor's and a master's. He got a bachelor's and two master's. He get a master's in healthcare policy. But in the meantime, if you just want to know, he picks up the Brian Piccolo Award. He probably didn't think I was doing my homework, but I was going to find out about that Brian Piccolo Award. So with all that said, good evening, Mr. Richard Jurgen. How are you doing today?
Tell you what, I'm doing great now that I'm talking to you.
Man, well, you know, Pearsall and I, man, we've been licking our choppers. I mean, licking our choppers, waiting for you to get on this show, man. And certainly you got some things the listeners want to know about. And I'm going to jump right in because we brought you in a little early because we realized there were some things that we really wanted to flush out with you. So I want to ask this first question. What type of family did you grow up in? And football was an outlet for you to get away? I mean, and you was using academics. But what kind of family was motivating you to do what you accomplished in high school?
That's a good question. I had a traditional family, you know, a mother, a father, but I had an older brother who was 11 and a half years older than me. And my parents had me when they were 40. So I was a late baby. And and being that, I've always had to act a little bit older than I was. And that came from, you know, you got parents who have been through life, you know, have already had a child. They've already, you know, gotten well off into their careers. And here comes yet another child. And so, you know, I was always taught that family, education, and then athletics. And so in that order, I've always made sure that my life has been a direct reflection of that.
Man, that's powerful. So when you was in high school and you saw that you were a premier athlete, because becoming a five-star doesn't happen overnight. That's progression. Right. That's something people see you early on and see your potential. What was going through your mind as you in high school and realizing that you had to step your game up? I mean, you really had to step your game up if you were going to be one of the top in the country, not just out of Florida, but in the country.
Yeah, I mean, growing up here in South Florida, athletics, football in particular, is king. And you know, from the time that you
step foot onto a football field, it's about business. Meaning, every youth sports team I've ever played on, the competition level has always been better than the opposition. I knew that if I could compete for a starting position or for notoriety on the team that I was playing for, I would be all right. Because everybody else and everything else that we're up against didn't matter. It was all about, can you beat out the next man for your position? And once I came to that realization, it was no longer about the next man. It became about me. Can I beat out yesterday? Can I be better than I was last year? You know, all those questions and thoughts start to become less complex and more simple. And it takes putting the work in every day and being willing to go out there and test your will against another man's will on the football field and in life. So man, that's what I did.
You know, when we were in L.A. for the Watkins Award, I noticed that you were more focused on a particular set of words that started to define you before you even hit the college campus. And those set of words was business trip. So what made you decide that you was going to take your business trip from South Florida to Clemson University? What was the process that you got to that you was going to Clemson? Because you were serious about your academics. And I'm not saying that Clemson is not a serious school academically. But how did you end up in Clemson?
Tell you what, Clemson was the first school to offer me as a sophomore at high school, unproven linebacker. And they saw the potential in me from day one. And moving forward in the recruitment process, things, you know, obviously get disheveled. You have so many different factors to weigh into your decision-making at that age. But one thing that sticks out to me is loyalty. And Clemson's loyalty never wavered towards whether or not I was a fit there, or whether I would be able to excel there, because they provide a numerous amount of resources. And I knew that, you know, prior to going into making that decision, that Clemson was a place where I could grow as not only an athlete, but as a male, a black male at that, and define who I was in a Southern school that has their own principles and values. Academically, it ranks amongst the top 20 public academic institutions, which means opportunities for business and networking. And then, oh, pretty good football team. Opportunity to go to NFL. So I would say it's a no-brainer, and I made the best decision for me at the time. And still to this day.
Well, I was leading up to something on the other side of that commercial break. And, you know, Pearsall and I briefly talked about adversity. And right. So I remember a day and, you know, that Pearsall called me up and said to me, he was on his way. Now, I had just spoken to him maybe an hour or two, and this is the type of work that this man puts in, and this is why I work as hard as I do. But he said, I'm on my way. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, I'm on my way to Atlanta. And he got to Atlanta, and he and I jumped in the car, and we were headed to Clemson. So I want to ask you, you know, here you are at Clemson. You this premier athlete, and I should always use the word scholar athlete, but you find yourself in a car accident. Someone says to you, you'll never walk again. I mean, what is going through your mind? Because Pearsall comes, you know, down here with a look on his face, and we jump in a car. I just knew we were going to get a ticket. We flew straight to the hospital. Get to the hospital, and, you know, all the coaches, some of your best, you know, teammates are surrounding and people looking at you, and we talking to people and say, he'll never walk again. He'll never walk again. I mean, what's going through your mind when you open your eyes, when you see, you know, Pearsall and I coming through that door? You talk about adversity. Were you listening to these people tell you, hey, you know, you can't play football no more. You're not going to be able to walk. What's going through your mind?
You see the light above my head? It's nighttime and the sun has set. And at that time, in the midst of darkness, the people around me were my light. And I was able to see the sunset. I knew that if I could make it out of here, that I would walk again. And that if my eyes are open, that I could see clearly. And if that wasn't the case, God be the glory. If I can't walk again, Lord, take me now. But if I'm still here, that means I got plenty of time to walk again. And my mentality was, I know this isn't the end all be all. This is just something that I have to go through and grow through. And I mean, with the support and the just pure love that surrounded me, it gave me that light to see the sun rise again.
Man, those are some powerful words coming from a young man. Because that could have derailed your business trip. Your purpose for coming down, it could have stopped you from going to school. But I could see in your eyes that you was going to get up. But yes. I wanted to be careful in saying something like that. And not only did you get up after the doctor said that you wouldn't, you got up, you got your degree, you got in the transfer portal. Somehow you get enough strength that they give you the clearance. You go to Boston U and play on the football team and get another degree. So as I mentioned, for anyone who wasn't listening earlier, you got a bachelor's degree and two master's degrees by the time. Two master degrees with an S on it. By the time you finish your athletic career, I mean, this is phenomenal. Most guys can't even get out with one degree, and they taking cherry picking classes. You go take taking serious classes. You go to grad school twice. And you stayed in the fire department. You didn't have no problems with it. So I just stop and just say, you know, I know Mr. Pearsall getting ready to rile this thing up. And, you know, I know that he was very, very close to you because every time I turn around, he trying to get me to meet him at Clemson. Man, you in Baltimore. You trying. Man, I'm 15 minutes from Clemson. Meet me up here. We're going to the game. Man, this is crazy. But he loved him some Richard Jurgen. But Mr. Pearsall, man, what's going on, Mr. Pearsall?
Hey, you got my man on the line. You know it. Let's correct this. Let's say it right. This is Richard Jurgen III. Richard Jurgen III, a.k.a. RY3, a.k.a. Yergi, to me. This is my man on the line right now. Let me tell you, he enters the Watkins family out of high school, checking all the boxes, right? All the boxes from a physical perspective. But again, we don't care about that. It's that 4.5 grade point average that we see on the transcript coming into the Watkins family that we were excited about. And having met him, having met his dad, his mom, and his big brother, as he talks about the legacy that he was pushed to accomplish those things in the classroom, I see where it came from. And as I got to know his family and dig deeper into a relationship with him, I am not surprised at the things that he's accomplished. And what you hear me say more than anything else, I'm more surprised about the great things that he's going to do. Because although his athletic career didn't go where we anticipated at that time, you know that God always has a plan. And at the end of the day, football is only for a spell. All I do is sit back and wait for the opportunity for greatness. And so some of the guys have one-year careers in the NFL or in the NBA or in Major League Baseball. Some have three. Some have had 10. But really, it's that life after sport that they begin to make the impact. And they start doing the things that we know that they're going to do, which is create that legacy. And so when you take a look at being Yergi, the first guy to graduate as a student athlete with, as Tyrone said, not only a bachelor's degree, but two master's degree. Let's dig a little bit deeper. And again, you and I, we've already talked about it. But for our listeners, talk about what you need to do in terms of sacrificing some things off the field in order to prepare yourself to be dedicated to that educational component to help establish your legacy moving forward through education and the success that you will achieve in the future. What are some of the things that you did to prepare yourself to make those steps forward and to accomplish those things? The only Watkins got to have done so.
Well, it wasn't easy. And to be honest with you, one degree is still pending. My second master's from Boston College. Haven't received it in full yet, but it's pending. But what I will say, to your point, Everett and Tyrone, there's three things that have to be done. One is you have to be real with yourself. What I want, what I say I want, has to align with what I do. So in order to be something, you have to do something in order to have something. So those are the three words: be, do, have. So in order for me to become a Watkins man, the requirements were to be a high academic performer and a high athletic performer, but an overall contributor to society as a Samaritan. And so those are the three components that it took to become a Watkins man in order to elevate and continue to carry the torch. Going to college took an enormous amount of focus, and that focus is the do. So be, do, have. So now we're talking about what you have to do in order to have the things that you desire. And for me, I knew going into, you know, my situation, I was going to have to be willing to do more than the average man. Meaning, I went to college, you know, pursuing a business degree. You know, I was going to have to stay up later, you know, not just the required hours that it took to go to study hall, to do homework, but really get out and develop relationships, because that's what business is. You know, you talk about a business trip, you have to assert yourself the first time the right way so that the next time when you present yourself, people still respect the first encounter that they had with you. And so every time that I, you know, step foot out of the door, my mentality was to seek out opportunities to grow in every aspect of my life. Not just, oh, I did it in high school, you know, that's cool, but when I get to college, I'm going to become one-track minded, because that's typically what happens. You know, and the accident in itself came at a point in time where I had already put in the legwork, the hard work. Now it was time to reap the benefits of, you know, the harvest. And to that note, the harvest wasn't the NFL. The harvest was an abundance of relationships and connections that go far beyond that. And so in order to have those things, again, I had to be somebody, I had to do something in order to have that abundance. And so for me, I kind of started to look at life as if my net worth will be dependent upon my network and adding more value than I ever receive in payment. No one can ever pay me the debt that I've paid to society and all that I do and why I do what I do. If you cut me open and do open heart surgery, I'll still be pumping and I'll still be going because it's something deeper than the eye can see, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, for our listeners, just so you know, he was slated as a starter at Clemson. And if you've been paying attention to Clemson football, you know, in one season alone, they had three guys go in the first round off that defensive front that he played with. But he had a life-threatening accident. He broke his neck in a car accident. And when we got down there to see him, as he said, I saw his spirit lift. And I knew that he would accomplish much more than the doctors would say and those around him would say. Even compounding on top of that, as he continued his football career at Boston College, he then comes out and now we have the pandemic. And for an individual that comes out of Boston College with sort of a red flag after having an accident like that, the pro day and all the things that lead up to the draft are the things that a person like him would need. And I'll tell you that today, he is still a talent that could play in the NFL, but accepted other challenges to move forward. And so I'll ask you now, how did the Watkins Award through the Alliance and the Watkins family help you through that journey from the time we met you as a senior in high school, even up until now? Tell us how the Watkins Award has affected you and helped you through all of those different compartments within that journey.
Tell you what, there's a guy by the name of Jamal Rashard Patterson that was a standout at Stanford and a great brother and mentor to me during my time in college. And the one thing I would ask him was, what is life like on the other side? Like, really, what is life like on the other side? And the one thing that he would tell me is, it's greater. You live life with more purpose. Just visiting with him and Tyrone in Atlanta on a consistent basis, just to refresh my mind and let me know that it's bigger than football, like we're here for you just in general, was one of the things that I enjoyed the most throughout my college experience, that it doesn't even do it just that I'm just now, you know, being able to talk about it, but just the peer relationships and the mentorship that you get out of the Watkins. I mean, Everett, you know, every time I look up, and me and you together, some point, somehow, I'm just like, man, I want to do what you do for a living. It seemed like you have a good time just giving back, you know. And those are the small details that lead to the big results. You know, it's just showing up and being there for somebody in their time of, you know, needing guidance and wanting to receive more than just the cookie cutter. Like, oh, you're a part of this alliance and congrats, man. Wish you luck on your way. But be there for me on my way. Don't wish me luck. Be there. You know, and you all are always there.
Excellent. Now, as I talk about with all the Watkins guys, I'm always more excited for the future. And I take a look at some of the things you've done and some of the things that you're looking at doing as we continue to dialogue about your future. It's always exciting when I talk to the Watkins guys and they tell me some of the things that they're doing now off the field as well as going to do. Tell us about some of the things that you're now doing and some of the plans that you have in store for the future.
Yeah, you know, back in May, when the pandemic was at its peak and our socioeconomic climate was chaotic, to say the least, I developed an idea centered around the Richard Juergen Foundation, which encompasses providing academic, technological, and mental health services to those who are disadvantaged in the population here in South Florida and, you know, around the country as well as we expand over the coming years. But the one thing that stood out to me was, you know, I don't look to receive any money or any type of pat on the back for my efforts and my work in the community. But one thing I do strive and want out of life is to leave behind a legacy for my son. And so that's just the start, is building my foundation. The next thing is to put the legwork in and to get out here and let people see me every day. And, you know, the one thing that I would say is, you know, being a motivational speaker, keynote speaker, and an executive coach in life, I've learned so much through the people that I've encountered, you know, from many different aspects, and it's definitely kept me in alignment with my purpose, which is ultimately to serve, you know, at whatever capacity that I need to, whether that be youth, whether that be adults, whether that be folks struggling with addictions and mental health. You know, it's always a blessing to be able to uplift someone else's spirits and make an impact. So, you know, the one thing that I would say personally is I want to live a life to inspire before I expire. And that starts by simple conversations like these where, you know, I'm putting the vision on full display and watching it manifest over time.
Excellent, excellent. Now, Richard, I know you got more rings than Liberace. You got more degrees than anyone in Watkins history. I love it, man. I love it. I love all the things you're doing. I saw you, some of your entrepreneurial endeavors when you were at school. So, you know, these things that you're doing now, I already knew you were going to do. And like I always said, it's just a matter of time. You'll check the box on the athletic piece, but when you really get to your mission, you'll be good. Tyrone,
sir,
any final thoughts?
Hey, all I can tell you, boy, is Richard has really set the bar. I mean, and no one else, like you said, has been able to set that bar. And certainly, you know, this final few moments have been sponsored by Twin Auto Repair. You know, they do all changes, brakes and tune-ups, and Hayloft and Designs over at 954 South Main Street in Conyers. All I can tell you is that everybody is now inspiring to be like Richard Juergen. And as you say, Pearsall, the third, I mean, hey, look, it is what it is. You know, Richard Juergen has made a legacy for that name. And we'll put that third beside it, but he's made a name for it. I certainly appreciate you, Richard. It's been a wonderful time. Thank you so much. And this is Pearsall and T-Tate signing out with the Watkins Award.
Thanks, Juergen!
For the drive, you know it's really my passion. Never gonna stop me, really, I'll make it happen. I gotta get up and grab it. The money want me to have it. What more could I say? I'm top billing. I grew from the dirt, guess I had to make a million. I grew up, I swear I rose from the valley. Every day I put the work in, I gotta keep a tally on beat. Pockets stay heavy, when you see me, don't leave. Falling days in the streets, had homies in the struggle. Get it, you gotta see it. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.